This week on RSVMB Update, improved divination has arrived and XP rates are off the chart. From a fivefold XP rate increase to Wisp clustering and the economic impact, we question the future of divination. Mobile has also received a UI update to mixed reviews, and we provide our own. This is RSVMB Update, episode 828, recorded Thursday, May 6th, 2021, Divining the Future. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of RSVMB Update. It is Improved Divination Week. Double XP Live is underway. Tanis and myself are here, as we are each and every week. Welcome back, Tanis.
Thank you, Shane.
But also joining us is one of our community members. You might know him from Skill of the Month. Last month, Bears OP gave Tanis a good beating in fishing. Welcome aboard.
Hello.
You're going to give us a bit of a perspective on the divination update and just, you know, share your thoughts. And we thought, you know, let's just see what some of the community think. Give us a bit of a rundown about yourself, about your RuneScape character. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, so max player, do a little bit of both skilling and PVM. I wouldn't say I'm at like the top level of PVM, but I mean, I'm close. And then I do a lot of skilling, as you guys know from last month's Skill of the Month. So I kind of do skilling during the day, and then once it gets after work, I pull out the PVM gear and go fight some stuff. So that's nice. Kind of what I do on a day-to-day basis.
Telos level or a little bit lower?
I mean, if I wanted to, I could do Telos. It just, Telos doesn't seem like a boss that I would enjoy. I'm more of a group boss sort of person.
Okay.
So I've been really into AOD right now and then duoing Raksha with some of my buddies.
All right. Sounds good. Fair enough. Raksha as well is going to be the topic of your Informer article that you're writing for us, a Trial Informer article.
Yep.
It looks good. I read the surface of it, but I'm going to get to the rest of it tonight, and we'll give it a very fine-toothed look through the comb, so that should be good fun. You guys will be seeing that up on Informer in the next week or so, look out for bears in that domain. But nonetheless, we got to talk about divination this week, because I think we have some mixed feelings about this update, as we were kind of inferring. So what we're going to do with this week is we're going to run through the mechanics. If you weren't here last week, we're also going to talk a bit about the ramifications for XP, and then we're going to talk about the economic impacts as well. We have a couple theories on that. Tanis has been in contact with some people in high places. I almost said at the pearly gates, but I don't think that's where Brew is currently.
No,
is he?
I don't believe so. I hope not.
Of course, Brew is the, we're talking about Brew, Tanis' friend who was on for the archaeology skilling special last year. So obviously knows what he's talking about. But there's lots of ramifications for this. So starting off, mechanics-wise, first thing that you're going to notice if you go to a divination colony this week is that the wisps have had their wander range greatly reduced to the point where now they'll only wander up to 5 tiles away from the rift, which the idea behind this is that to make the skill a little bit more AFKable, so you're not running every which way to find a wisp and then running back to the crater. Now, you know, when we first looked at this when it came out, I thought, okay, so this is going to render an area that was very atmospheric at one point to effectively, you know, being a 12 square wide circle on this around each crater nowadays. And I mean, it looks a little bit odd seeing it, but I see why that was done. So there's that. Spring durations have been increased to a minimum of 60 seconds, and for each additional player that interacts with the spring, it will increase its duration up to a maximum of 75 extra seconds. So that gives us 2 minutes and 15 seconds there, and they're calling this a water cooler chat, but all fancy and mystical. Okay. That's not what I saw in World 79, as much as we'd like it to be that way.
Well, where do you work? I mean, were they talking about San Quentin or something?
They could have very well been from there based on how they were talking. There's an improved critical chance while gathering. When gathering memories, you have a higher chance to score enriched memories. And with this, critical chance can now go over to 100%, so that at 150%, for example, you'll get an enriched memory and a 50% chance to nab another. Then here's where it gets really, really interesting. The memory overflow mechanic is the opportunity to get some social time in, they say, while you skill. And this is a new buff that triggers when you and other players around you contribute chronicle fragments to a regular rift. And when this overloads, you'll get a 10-minute boost that gives you +1 base energy, 5% more XP from deposited memories, 10% higher crit chance, and it spawns an enriched wisp, which boosts your crit rating by 100%. And this mechanic replaces the enriched wisps that would spawn every 20 minutes. And the eagle-eyed of you will note that this mechanic here, the enriched wisp mechanic, is very similar to what Divination was like on release, and then they had to actually change it back in 2013. Do you remember that, Tanis?
No. I don't ever remember.
There were friends chats. That's good. There were friends chats dedicated for hunting enriched wisps back in the day.
Well, yeah, I remember that. But I don't know if that doesn't come close to what we got
no,
now.
No, it doesn't. Chronicle fragments will stay closer to you. You click on them. You can also get enriched chronicle fragments that are worth a little bit more XP and a lot more progress towards overloading the rift. And then we have the new and improved Sign of the Porter 7 that uses Dragonstone necklaces, which I'm still, you know, kind of getting over. But that's okay, because at Divination 94, you can make the Sign of the Porter 6 that we're all accustomed to with diamond necklaces, though it now requires luminous energy. Then a number of changes and new items to transmutation, including raw sharks, raw sea turtles, cave fish, manta ray, and rocktails. I'm not going to talk about this now, because I think the main bulk of the reason you'd want to use transmutation in this day and age is if you're an Iron Man character. Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, and I don't think I've used it once.
Yeah, even then, I don't even know if it's viable, but yeah.
Also, all the new ores that came in with the mining and smithing rework can also be transmutated. So Luminite or Calcite, Dracolith, Necrite, Phasmatite, Bane, and the Animicas are all transmuted with their previous tier of ore and a relevant tiered energy with that. Now, let's talk a little bit about the boosts that come with this, because this is where the skill really starts to take off in terms of the XP per hour. Your divination skill cape boosts the minimum duration of a spring by 30 seconds, one time per spring. This does not stack with ethereal connection, which does exactly the same thing. So what this means is that 60 seconds becomes 90, and you're looking at potentially a maximum of 2 minutes 45 seconds based on the number of people that click on a spring. Fading memories retain all of their current effects, and they now provide a 20% crit chance. Elite Divination Outfit has a 5% chance of granting 100% crit chance, and the Elder Divination Outfit has a 7% chance of granting that 100% crit chance. There's also the Prism of Dousing that grants an extra 5% crit chance when nearby. This is an ancient Saren spell that can be cast from the ancient spellbook. Chronicle Absorption. Instead of absorbing the Chronicle Fragment, the player will now automatically pick up the Chronicle Fragment, and you get an enriched Chronicle. So you'll definitely be wanting to use this prayer if you're training. Spirit Attraction Potion does the same thing, if you're so inclined to spend money on that. And Abyssal Transit allows for Chronicles to be offered from the inventory, But the abyssal transit doubles the progress towards overloaded energy rifts when dropping off these chronicle fragments. And this is stuff that we all knew from last week. But what we didn't know coming in was just how absurd the XP rates were going to be with this. Now, I'm going to paint a bit of a picture of where we were at before. So, prior to this update, at incandescence, you would be right to expect maybe 75 to 80,000 divination XP an hour at incandescence. If you were looking at doing the Hall of Memories at 2-ticking, you would probably look around 230, 240k XP an hour. If you 3-tick it, 250 to 280k XP an hour. And here, you know, just, you know, right off the bat here with divination this week, we are looking at, quite honestly, if you don't bring your own energy and you just train as you normally do, about 240k XP an hour. But if you do bring your own energy, and Tanis, you and I have different results in this, if you do bring your own energy, 280 to 300k XP an hour.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's... I think those are all a little low, but...
Yeah, I don't know how you got the numbers you heard. And I'll let you share those with the listeners.
So, I have always went by shrine being much more than that, even previous to this update, because I know on a double XP you can get close to like I think it wasn't unheard of to pull an 800k easily.
Oh, I need to be clear, the numbers I was talking about just now were without double XP.
Right. But you should, I mean, I think you should have been hitting 384s at the shrine. With this update, if you're on a world, on a divination world,
79 is one.
Using just the normal, you know, the middle option, should be coming close to like 480 to 500. Now, if you use energy, that should put you up to like 560, 580. And we'll talk about what I think there's kind of an issue there. So those, I mean, that's what I've been going off of. That's the rates that are circling in the higher skilling circles.
And I don't know how they're getting that rate.
I think we said an elder outfit, your aura, your cape, your being on the world because you need that 5% boost from the overflow. You need the relic.
Oh, it appears I turned my relic off. Whoops, right now. But I did have it on earlier in the week. And
I mean, you know, all your basic buffs that you would normally want to use.
Of course. And this is where it gets really interesting because this is nowhere near 2-ticking in terms of intensity.
No, it's not. It's no. No, and I don't even think there's any reason to, why worry about a cache now?
Yeah.
You don't have to do that either.
Yeah. What's your opinion on these numbers, Bears?
I don't know exactly which one it is, if it is going to be closer to 400,000 or not, but either way, I don't really have an issue with it. Like, I think this is going to be, at least my personal belief would be, this is going to be a start towards kind of buffing some of the other gathering skills too on how much XP they can get. Because, I mean, 90,000 XP an hour, which is what it was before, that is That is a long time doing divination to get to 99.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I did that grind. I didn't do the Hall of Memories. So I remember, and I never wanted to do divination again. So yeah. I don't have an issue with them kind of buffing some of the gathering skills up to like some of the non-gathering skills that are getting 500,000, 600,000 XP an hour.
See, and I think that brings up a good point where, obviously, I think divination, I think even though I think it was balanced coming into this, I said the gathering part could take a buff. I had no idea they would buff it to this degree, but I think this all, it all reverts back to the overflow mechanic that wasn't meant to be quite as good as the shrine, but ended up surpassing it. And I think there's going to be a tweak there. And really when you get down to it, it's not even the XP rates that I worry about. It's what you get from divination that I'm much more worried about.
The divine energy.
The energy.
Yeah. Yes. And we'll talk about the economic.
The only viable way after. A skiller can make any money. Well, not the only way, but, you know. It's
not farming, 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 way. Farming.
Yeah, there's farming.
But, and see, here's the thing. These are rates for World 79, and you can see on the video version of the show just how tightly packed this is here. You're not going to get these rates on any other world. It's got to be on World 79 or another divination training world. And you have to hope that the interaction around this divination is going to continue for the future, into the future, in order to get those rates.
It's going to continue. Because we haven't even talked about the energy yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it will. I could easily see this being something that everyone tries out during double XP and then kind of kicks to the side in a few weeks.
And
once the energy drops in price.
Which I know we're getting ahead of our... From your lips to God's ears. Please.
See, I just dumped a load of energy off into the crater, and my XP per hour is hovering at 173 right now. We'll have to wait and see what that spikes up to when I put the second load in, because I haven't done it with the relic yet. But you can see how this requires a very optimized approach to do.
It's very optimized, but it's also very AFK. Like, all the other changes, I feel like were really, really good. I mean, I like the update. I don't mind the XP rate per se. I mean, it's a little on the high side, but, you know, whatever. It's the ramifications from it with the... especially dealing with the overflow, that I think it's a little more, it could be a little more troubling.
All right. One thing I do want to comment on is that in order at this point to interact with the Rift with so many people being around, you do need to actually right click on it. Because enriched springs can actually appear right on top of the crater, believe it or not. So I'd imagine that'll be something that'll be getting patched in the future to kind of just make interacting with it easier. But overall, I think this is a success so far. We haven't got to the economic side yet, but the goal was to drop the barrier to divination training, and I think they have with this.
But the barrier to divination training, I feel, was addressed with what they did holding the wisp still and bringing them in closer. That's what made it more AFK. That's what made it more friendly.
Right.
Right. Because before it existed in this like quasi AFK world, and it
was
really
air fishing, but almost not air fishing.
Yeah. Way more active than air fishing. I mean, way more. This is air fishing. Like, only with twice as good of rate, you know, essentially. But we gotta talk about the economics.
Yeah, and you know, I just want to say one more thing on the XP rates with this is that we're talking about massive increases to what was already a pretty AFK skill in the grand scheme of things. And one thing I think everybody is forgetting is that I forget what. Yeah, see, okay, now I'm above 350k XP an hour in terms of the rates. We'll see where that sits. But what everybody's forgetting, do you remember that talk that Mod Osborne gave at, I think it was the last RuneFest or around there, where he said that any content that comes into game effectively can't render anything else useless?
Mm-hmm.
What I think that this has done is that this has moved the core divination training methods outside of the Hall of Memories, if you want fast XP, back to the rifts where it was meant to be, and Hall of Memories now can be focused on the lore aspect and finding the unique divination buffs out of it.
Well, and that's the benefit, right?
That's like, the benefit. That's the good part about this. And following from that, I think we all have to address that we live in a world today where we're not going to see any major nerfs to skill XP rates unless a new method comes in on top of it. And I think that's what this is about. It's about moving divination into that realm of fast XP gathering like we have with thieving, like we have with Hunter. And I think that's what this week's update is about.
That would be okay. Okay. I mean, and I think there's something to be said for that. But remember, remember how, you know, our three-legged stool kind of works, right? Like, it's either being super active, or it costs money, or it's really grindy, right?
Right.
It takes a lot of time.
And we are talking about training this. You do need to supply your own energy with it, which you didn't need to do with the Hall of Memories.
But we need a bigger contrast between using energy and not using energy. That's where the rub is for me right now.
Okay, right. Because based on what we see here and what my initial test showed, is that it's probably about a 50K difference between using energy and not using energy.
Right, and using energy is very expensive. Very expensive compared to not using it. That's we want if you bring in something that is going to bring in more energy, then you have to have something that's going to take it out the same way, right? I'm sure this is going
to
work out.
I think now's a good time to pivot to the economics and you and Brew talked about. Bears, feel free to jump in at any point.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And especially with your PVM experience, this is...
Right, because...
You're going to come into play here.
You're going to need new energy for that at some point.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that's what I was getting ready to say is, you know, I'm sure PVM community is going to be thrilled about this, right? Because they're going to get their charges a lot cheaper. And so something I was talking to Brew with, I was telling him, you know, I'm worried about this. It's going to crash charges. He's like,
Brew
is
a very high octane skilling RS player, for those unaware.
Yeah.
And has appeared on the podcast before.
Absolutely. And it was a, so during archaeology, he brought this up during archaeology time, right? We got the relic, which brought a ton of energy in, right? Like it made it so much quicker, so much easier. But at the same time, because the way archaeology was working, there was a huge demand for porters. So everything actually kind of balanced out. You didn't see a lot of like spikes and drops and it kind of leveled out. And with this, we need a bigger difference with what you're gaining using energy because there's no point. You know, an extra 50, 60K is not that big of a deal. I need a reason to use that energy so that I can buy that energy because of all the surplus that's coming in or will be coming in. We're not going to see it for, I'm predicting about a month or so.
And I don't think people are going to do it right now. And then it changes need to ripple through the economy for that.
Yeah.
All right. And to be fair,
Yeah, it came out April 1st, right? Of 2020?
March 30th, but yeah, close enough.
March 30th. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the incandescent energy prices now, and it got all the way up to 700 2 weeks after Archaeology came out. And like, did either of you guys use Porters before Archaeology?
Very often? Yeah, but not to the extent.
No.
Yeah, I've never touched 2 weeks before.
And think about like that first 2 weeks, people were still racing to get that relic. And yep. if you got it, then man, it was good for, you know, it was good, but it didn't stay like that.
No, by June, it was already back down.
Mm-hmm.
Too long, but it's already dropped a good amount in the past week or so.
And part of the problem with this that is causing this much energy to, you know, be harvestable now is that the memory overload buff is consistently active at this point on the divination world.
I'm hearing anywhere between 15 and 20K. That sounds incredible to me, but I don't think it's impossible. That relic, man, that relic really does a lot when it comes to just gathering pure energy.
Oh yeah,
you know, if you're not going for XP or anything like that, pure energy, man.
I'm doing pure energy since we started recording. I'm at 7,500.
See,
I don't know how long we've been recording, but
yeah, I rest my case. I'm done. We're done here.
Kind of a good amount.
We're done here.
No, I'm also doing Luminous because I have a ton of diamond necklaces I need to make.
Oh, okay, fair enough. I'm at incandescent. And every time I deposit the energy into the rift, it shoots right up to 380K XP an hour. So based on where we're at with this and how often I'm depositing, I'm willing to re-up my estimates to closer to probably 325 is what I'm getting. I don't know, Tannis, how your friends were getting close to 500 or 600.
I don't know what you're doing, Shane. Like I don't know.
Like I have the legendary enrichment active. I have the Muspa, running Chronicle of Attraction. I got the outfit.
Yeah, that. What is wrong? I don't.
I got the cape. Got the relic. I don't know.
I don't maybe know. There maybe is something. You need more friends, Shane.
But case in point here, I have also heard on the opposite side from you, Tannis, that perhaps everything will be fine at the end of the day when it comes down to it. I was chatting with David, and he feels that, you know, things are going to level out and things will be fine.
Well, and that was like I said, that was Brew's argument. He said, we've seen this before, because he thinks that the higher level Porter actually is going to be appealing. And that was one of the differences too, because I didn't think any of the rewards were worth anything. Like
right. And the lens that we are looking at the higher level Porter through is that you can, you know, just use Sign of the Porter 6 and put them in your Grace of the Elves.
Right. But what he was saying is there is such a glut when it comes to cut dragon stones that it's not expensive and you might as well do the 50s.
I don't PVM and I have 700 of them in my bank from Saren Spirits.
Yeah. You get them everywhere.
So, I mean, if that's the case, then there, you know, I mean, then there is a chance. But like I think I told you earlier, Shane, that felt a little supply side for me, and I'm not ready to I'm not ready to do it yet.
And I mean, it totally makes sense when you look at just the way things work. And I might actually be inclined to agree with Brew on this. And it's, once again, too bad that the timings didn't work out on this. And based on how this goes, maybe we'll have to get him next week or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but we'll have to see.
I did an hour of the Rex Matriarchs. I got 65 Dragonstones from that last week.
Okay. Well, and if you're going for fast crafting XP, like right now during double XP, or cutting Dragonstones.
Yeah. So what the Matriarchs drop is actually really, really special for anybody who's doing mid-level PVM, I feel, right now, because you can sell those off for double XP. You got the chance at Lanikea's Spear. But also these Dragonstones can be fed back into these new porters.
Yeah, I mean, if you weren't trying
and,
to...
And from that perspective, I feel like these were kind of meant to mesh together, as in the Matriarchs would come out one month and Divination would come out the next month. Except that was upended by the lockout.
Have you done a lot of Matriarchs, Faith?
I have about 500 kills. I really want the pet that you, the red one, just for Fashionscape, but just, the red one's just annoying to kill. So, I'm going to get back to it eventually, but not right now.
Yeah.
For the most part, I just kind of leave the drops on the ground, too.
Oh, and you know how many Dragonstones those things spit out, eh?
Yeah. I mean, I did them before the Divination announcement, too, so that kind of dunk.
And I think the important thing to realize at the end of the day is that this is double XP weekend. There is a focus being put on this, and this is not the mining and smithing rework redone, where the point was they were anticipating the Animikas to be 15, 20k each, but people were so involved in it that they dropped to 3 or 4k each. This is not what we're seeing here today. I have not seen people jumping up and down about Divination this week. I really haven't.
Really? I mean, no. I've seen quite a bit of excitement about
it. Sure, and the skilling, but it's not the same widespread excitement that M&S brought.
Well, I mean, recreated two skills.
Mining are two of the most popular skills. Like, when I played when I was 8 years old, mining was always my favorite skill. Like, it was so cool to be in Varrock and just mine the iron, where Divination doesn't have that same appeal to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why I don't think it's going to be a huge issue as it is. And, I mean, we can look at the drop rates for the uncut Dragonstones as it is. And, I mean, if you really wanted to, you could take 5 diamonds and Gleaming Energy and transmute that into Dragonstone. If you really wanted to, you could do that.
But you always lose on transmutation when it comes to the cost.
So, the biggest droppers of uncut Dragonstones right now in-game are Solak, Telos,
of course,
the rare drop table, which are Saren Spirits access. Next, Raids. Next, AOD, the Raptor's Chest, Orichalca, and all of the other Matriarchs. And then we go down to the God Wars Dungeon 2 bosses, where those are uncommon drops. So, from this, I mean, you can look at this and say, oh, yeah, these are okay. But nonetheless, there is a source of Dragonstones that have been coming into the game. And it's going to be consistently used, I feel. So,
and they're going to be consistently. I mean, and all those that are coming into the game, they're all going to have to be cut. They're all going to get cut by crafters. And you're going to end up with, I think, fairly cheap Dragonstones in the end.
Yeah. And then there's more reason to do porters. Sign of the Border 7.
More reason to do.
And then if you want the absurd XP rates, there's more reason to do divination training with energy. So that's going to create a demand for it. Not only at incandescents, but also at the other ones as well, if you really want to optimize. And just out of curiosity, is that 500, 600K you're talking about when you click on the actual crater, or is that sustained? Because I can get it up to 470 if I click on the crater.
I would assume it's clicking the crater, but
all right.
Not.
So maybe we got a different perspective here of what exactly is going on from here. But overall, I think that this is an update that does exactly what it said it was going to do on the tin. And in terms of talking about whether or not this is going to be bad for the economy, we have to wait and see, of course, because I think it's premature to make any kind of judgment during a double XP live event. And, I mean, there could be changes to the memory overflow mechanic in the coming days as well.
That's
one thing
we didn't talk about.
Go ahead, Tanis.
No. Go ahead, Bruce.
One thing we didn't talk about is divine charges. They're dropped like crazy. I just bought 500 of them. That should last me a while, but they were under 70K each. That's ridiculously low. So I'm super excited about that.
And see, there's the thing, Shane. Like, is it bad for the economy? Well, not if you're PVMer. Not if you use divine charges, right? But if that's how you made your money, I guess you're going to find a new job.
Well, that goes to the other part of it. I had, I think, 2 weeks ago, so I sold right before the announcement. I sold 1 million incandescent energy. I had my alt there for months farming all that energy. So, like, I made like 300 mil off of that, and right now I would be making 200 mil off of that same amount.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'm kind of on both ends of it, where I get the PVMs and I get the skilling money making side of it too. So I'm kind of torn on if I like it or not.
Yeah, and what I could see happening is maybe slowing down the overflow mechanic just a touch.
Which you could do by altering the rate Chronicles come into game.
Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I think if that, once that is done, then we would be fine, because I don't personally have a problem with the XP rates. And it's not that I mind that divine charges are cheaper, but it's dramatic. You know, you can't go from that being, you know, the predominant skilling way of making money to just demolishing it. I mean, and there just aren't a lot of ways to make money with skilling, and divination was always, you know, the steady one. And I just hate to see that go.
Yeah. Gonna have to go to rune crafting for money making now.
Hey, I mean, why not? Mud runes are
good.
Now
you're speaking Shane's language.
Soul runes are good, perhaps a little bit tedious. But overall, I think this update is important for the divination skill, and hopefully the metrics are showing that it's doing what it needs to do at the points. The pain points, remember the pain points they highlighted were at level 1 and level 80.
Mm.
Which I find hilarious that so many people got to level 80 and like, nope, never touching the skill again.
Yeah, the pain points were in the PVMer's pocketbox. That was the pain point, Shane.
In their
that was a real pain point.
Yeah. And, you know, once again, and we just finished talking about this in the Menaphos monthly bit, what we see in the game as our perspective as, you know, people who are in tune with this game each and every day, in tune with it at a high level, is not what people who are, you know, just dipping in and out sometimes might see from it, or people who are mid-level content at mid-level.
Right. But the changes that they made don't address that people are bunched up in 1 and 80.
No.
Because it isn't like they did what archaeology did, where you're going back and you're reusing the content into different levels.
And once again, if we're going to evaluate it on the XP per hour, wonderful update. But if we're going to evaluate it on whether or not it removes those pain points at 1 and 80 and causes people to actually move forward on this, and they tried to do that with Sign of the Porter, more transmutation, I don't know that that's going to necessarily help.
I think it'll help the level 1, but not level 80.
Yeah. Exactly.
I get, that makes more sense.
So, and, you know, as we also like to say here, don't make any conclusions about the economy on a double XP live event. Just wait and see where the dust ultimately settles. And I kind of want to leave it here at that, unless you guys have anything else divination-wise you want to talk about with this update.
No.
One thing, I don't know if you mentioned it before, but it is very tough with how many people there are right now to actually like click on what you want to click on.
Yeah.
So yeah. That'll be interesting moving forward once double XP ends and maybe people stop doing the skill.
I think that's something that they're going to probably have patched in the next week or two, honestly, because that's a fairly major usability problem. Basically, what's happening is that on a divination world, if somebody clicks the wisp while it's over top of the crater, it will spawn on top of the crater, and you need to go through this massively long right-click list in order to deposit energy.
Yeah, I would not want to be doing that on mobile.
No. No. And, you know, another final thing I think we'll need to ask is the Hall of Memories now relegated to, like I said, the lore side of it and the special little bonuses that it provides instead of main training methods? Because, I mean, who wants a two-tick when you have this? And this will raise many Hall of Memories fans to ask, does the Hall of Memories at this point need a buff? My answer is going to be no on that, but it's an interesting question going forward.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying, like, I don't think it was supposed to be better than Hall of Memories, because Hall of Memories was two ticking and, you know, the most active version of play. But at the same time, you know, I think it was an important point that we brought up, that it did bring it back to the core loop, because should that have ever even been a primary training method? And I would almost have to say no, right?
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the patch notes, because we do have a number of those this week as well, and some very energetic ones at that eventually later on. So starting off, fixed a visual issue with a chimney in Yeti Town. Violet is blue territory. That's nice that we're going back to getting a patch note there in the middle of the spring, despite the fact that quest was months ago. Takes us back to Christmas time. A tree in the wilderness is no longer floating and now blocks the player characters properly. All right. Flatten some uneven ground in the wilderness agility or werewolf agility course. God. It's been a long time since I've been there.
Yeah.
Yep.
I prefer not to think about that.
A lot of bad memories.
Yeah, a lot of bad memories training agility too. So, a rare double tree by the Tree of Balance has also been de-doubled. Sorry, they say. I don't know why it did say that, but okay. And the windows in the Varrock Museum are now all aligned properly. Then, under the archaeology banner, using fill and inspect on an ore box will no longer interrupt actions. Of course, that's a mining and smithing item, the ore box. And lots of people wanted that because of how you can transfer soil into the soil box and not have it interrupt whatever you're doing. So I'm imagining they're using the same kind of technology there on that front.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that's going to be nice. Mm-hmm.
And finally, time sprites will no longer disappear when inside Bando's Sanctum.
That's good.
Yeah, I had no idea they were disappearing. I think the highlight for me this week is definitely the Orbox one. What was that?
Bando's Sanctum, is that the 115 spot?
I don't know what it's called, unfortunately.
Yes,
okay,
I think so.
All right.
Okay, yeah. I did that one recently, and I did notice that, so I'm glad they fixed that.
Oh, are they talking about it disappearing under the floor?
Yeah, so like you could still see it when it was above, oh, okay. But when it would just go underneath the floor and teleport.
All right.
Which is kind
of- I understand what that's about now. I've seen that. Oh, yeah, that's a very fun spot because those ones have the opportunity to give you the Spear of Annihilation tip, which is 1 in 50,000 drop.
What?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Bando's yep. Sanctum is Spear of Annihilation tip.
Uh-huh.
And it's also one of the... what are those treasure hunter things?
Red Rum 3, Tetra Compasses.
Yeah. Compass.
I spent a lot of time there. I got two spear tips.
Well, I'm going as soon as I'm
done
with Airborne.
Yeah, yeah, do it.
No, I am, because that's going to be the only way I can get that high of a tiered weapon.
Oh,
so
oh yeah, and it's the best in slot melee weapon in the game.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, I'm going for it.
I know.
It's a lot of fun.
That's what
using
I've been
it.
Using for bossing and whatnot, so... anyways, we of course also have to talk about the mobile UI, but before we do that, I'll just thank our Patreon supporters for this week because, you guys allow us to do so much, fun stuff around here. And this week I'd like to thank, Andrew C, Arvids L, Brock H, Cameron, CGB900, Kristen S, Chunk the Monk, Cook Me Plocks, Danny C, Diana, Dream Delayed, a new arrival, welcome aboard. Dora Max, Gabrielle, Guy Lafleur, Jade Gizmo, Jason S, Jim M, Keski, Kevin G, Kyle, Lucky Ducky, Malinoric, Nora, Pernasius, Rastafa, Ricky A, Samuel FL, another new arrival, welcome, Scott DS, Soupfinder, Stob Eve, Tanner JW, The Bears, thank you, The Naked Captain, The Lion, Tom V, Vinny, Zachary K. and Zant, thank you all of you for your support. It truly means the world to us in terms of what we do here at RSBNB Update. And we just finished recording a monthly bit talking about Menaphos 4 years later. We were going to call it Flopped Updates, but we talked about it and we realized a lot of the framing around that update was very different at the time. So it took on a different tone than was initially intended, but that'll be going out to Patreon supporters very, very soon, if not by the time that you hear this. And you can gain access to that in the entire back catalog of monthly bits for as little as $1 a month. You can check that out at patreon.com/rsbnb. We also offer a $3 a month tier where you get a special VIP rank on Discord and access to high-quality stereo versions of the show in addition to everything else. And, of course, we also have the $5 a month tier where you gain exclusive access to the outtakes we use to make the clip show at the end of the year in addition to everything else. So thank you to everybody who is helping us along and allows us to do what we do here. It wouldn't be the community it is without all of you. So thank you. Pat yourselves on the back. And we're getting close to our $200 a month tier, which will be a special RSBNB update Patreon mail out. So keep your eyes set on that. And should we ever reach the $500 a month tier, well, then we'll be subjecting our taste buds to a wide range of spice with the Hot Ones Challenge. I'm ready for that. How about you, Tanis?
As soon as you send me one of those fine Canadian EpiPens, because it probably cost me $1,000 in America, you can probably get it for $20. So if we could get that before, that'd be great.
Yeah, I think the last time I saw one of those, it was $16 after the private healthcare pharma plan here.
Wow.
But probably close to 90 without it, I think. So. But that's a topic for a different show. I'd love to do a comparative analysis on American and Canadian healthcare at some point, but that's a topic for a different day nonetheless and a different podcast. So thank you so much, everybody here at RSBNB Update, for supporting us, and hopefully you continue to take value from the show for many more episodes to come. But we also do have a mobile update that we have to talk about as we get closer and closer to the launch, the impending launch of mobile. And this one has received differing opinions on how it is, I'll say. Tanis, have you had a chance to have a look at this yet?
I actually haven't played mobile this week because I have been actively working so hard on Herblore, essentially.
Okay. Hard to do on mobile?
I haven't tried it, but I have it, you know, where I just hit the one and the space bar and I got it all lined
right up.
And yeah. I don't think that would work exactly the same on mobile.
All right. So we're going to have a look at this, and we'll go through a bit of this here. I do have it available on the YouTube version of the podcast for anybody who is watching that. And so first off, the first change that they brought out this week was a new style for the top-level UI in-game, which involves new icons. The icons are more reminiscent of the kind that we have in the main game, as previously the ones that we had really didn't look much like what you would have in main RuneScape, and they were kind of hard to see with the golden color that they were. So I think the new icons actually make sense. That's not the point that I'm going to talk about as being the main issue here that people have seen. You think like they look nice?
Yeah, they look a lot better. Like, I always struggle to tell the difference between my friends list and like the drop list.
Right.
On mobile, now it's much clearer.
And, you know, I do think they need to make the icons bigger in chat still on the left-hand side there to toggle between social view and not social view, because that's, of course, how you access your clan list and the emotes and the grouping system and all that other fun stuff like that, because there's effectively two modes. There's the mode that allows access to your inventory, worn item, skills, prayers, spells, and abilities, plus your friends list. And then the other one offers access to your inventory, your friends chat, your clan chat, your friends list, emotes, grouping system, and notes of all things. And it's just a little bit weird seeing where that swap button is. But nonetheless, the icons do fit more with what somebody would expect moving back and forth between the desktop client and non-desktop client at that. There is also a new icon that opens up the store that we talked about previously, where you wouldn't have to be kicked out of the game itself in order to buy something if you wanted to. That's there. And of course, there's also access to the challenge system, which makes sense for mobile as well. It's all right there in the top left. Alongside this, buttons that open new screens or overlays and buttons that toggle something on the top level are now distinguished via a disc under the icon. And you can see these. They turn to be a yellow active color when you've selected, and then they're blue when they're not selected, which is another mobile game design element that the game has picked up. Icons in the top left are also now arranged horizontally. Previously, they were vertically. And I think this is the biggest one that people are not happy about, and that's that the minimap has been moved to the bottom right of the screen.
Yeah, a lot of people are up in arms about that.
And I'm not a combat person any day of the week, normally. But the problem with this is that if you open up your combat mode, everything that is going to be on your revolution bar will, of course, trigger. But if your minimap is up, you only get access to 7 other abilities on the left-hand side of the screen.
Oops.
I mean, that's the same way as if you have your inventory open.
Oh, interesting.
So if you open your inventory, yeah. So if you have anything open on that side,
on that other
side,
it takes
away those 7 abilities.
And see, part of the thing that I'm having trouble with here is that, okay, so it doesn't even if it's the minimap. But I don't feel like it did this before, did it?
I haven't done much combat on my phone, so I'm not really sure.
Yeah, so I'm not sure either, but I mean,
I think you could have the minimap open and abilities,
yes,
but not your inventory.
That's what it was. That's what it was. You're right. And now comes the question. If you're doing any kind of combat on mobile and you want the inventory up, are you okay with giving up access to those extra 7 ability buttons?
See, that's tough because it depends what you're doing. Like, I've done
like, it should
some
be fine for Slayer.
On my phone. Yeah, that was
should be fine for
be
the Matriarchs
deal,
too, because that can be done with Revolution.
Yeah, but like, if I was gonna, I mean, Evil Lucario's trying to do 4K Telos on his phone right now. I haven't watched any of his streams, but I couldn't imagine doing that, and I don't know if he's has abilities there or has an inventory. So I think you'd almost need the abilities there, and you have food and your potion that you're drinking
on one of the buttons.
And yeah.
That's the way it would have to be done.
Wrong.
But at the same time, we need to just understand that if you open up any of these things on the right side, you're going to have those 7 ability buttons disappear. And I mean, I guess that's okay for Slayer, but it just feels kind of weird having them disappear like that. If that's how you want to do it, I don't know. I don't do enough combat on my phone to have a true opinion on this, but I can see it being all right for Slayer if you're doing Revolution. I guess.
Yeah, I think it would be fine with Revolution. I mean, that's how I've done all my kills and on mobile. Just Revolution, I have maybe like 3 or 4 abilities that I'm actually hitting beyond the left-hand ability side.
What were the complaints that you
heard? Inventory open. Mostly it was just, it looked weird having the mini-map on the bottom right. I think it was more of a looks bad.
Okay.
And everyone's so used to the minimap being top right.
Right. And the thing that I see with that is that you're holding your phone and it's a horizontal based game. And for any normal person, your thumbs are going to be resting anywhere from a third to 50% down your screen, depending on how big your screen is, right? And from that, it feels like it's a lot more natural to have access to the inventory at the top than it is a minimap. That's the sense that I get as to why that change was done. And I'm actually behind it from that user interface perspective. It just, of course, you know, looks a little weird because that's not something we're accustomed to.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I think the biggest thing to me is, I didn't even notice it happened until I went on social media and saw people complaining about it. And this was Wednesday or something, so it's already been a day. And I just don't have the minimap open. Like, I'm not moving around too much on mobile that I need it open.
Tannis, do you use the minimap on mobile?
No.
No.
Nope, because when I use the minimap, I'm using the minimap in the main game to navigate. Like, I'll click and navigate using the mini map, and I do not do that with mobile. It's just not how I play. So
I usually
have that open.
Yeah, I usually get to what I want to do on my phone. I do it on my computer the night before, so I can just log in on my phone and do what I wanted to do.
I will say this, that performance on an iPhone 8 is still pretty damn good, given all everything that's we've been seeing in terms of updates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've noticed no issues with like lagging out or
anything.
What phone
do you have?
Well, I have an iPhone 12.
Okay. So top of the line then.
The only time I had an issue was when I logged into 84 Lumbridge.
Oh, yeah, that would do
that
it.
That was kind of to be expected.
Yeah. Overall, I mean, it feels great. Mobile feels great, I think. And most of what I think you have telegraphed that has been complaint is largely just people having an expected norm of things that are different, right? Than what they're used to.
Well, we had, I think it was last Monday, so they put the shop icon in,
and
which that
bigger.
Also was kind of a controversy.
But it's now the same size. So,
yeah, but they also put it where the chat button was.
And that was before
this
update.
You'd go to chat. Yeah, so that was before Monday.
And I still
don't like the shop button being right next to the chat one.
Yeah.
But I think I'll eventually get over it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's completely changed in terms of how it looks this week, and it looks like it fits in, and it's not necessarily out of proportion with either the chat or the active task button. But of course, the home button is bigger as you would expect it to be. So, I don't know.
I think I would like it more if it was all the way to the right. Just so, I just think chat should be the first option. But I get from a business side how you kind of want the shop being there.
Yeah.
But that's not needed to go into right now.
Yeah, and apparently do not disturb mode doesn't work as intended, so people are just loving seeing some Twitter notifications that are scrolling by on here for anybody who's watching this. But I don't know that I have much else left to say here on the mobile front. Tanis, any thoughts based on what you've seen? And I think it looks crowded because that double XP icon is right smack dab in the center and we can't move it.
Yeah, I mean, you can close the timer.
Yeah, but the orb is still there.
But yeah, it's a little annoying.
So, overall, feels pretty good, I think. So, I think we can leave it there. Tanis, any thoughts on mobile before we go?
No, I think we covered it pretty well.
You guys think this will bring a new population into the game? Or do you think it will mostly be older players just trying to AFK?
Oh, no, it's definitely going to bring new population into the game because the goal with the whole pre-registration that's going on, and I don't think we got an update on that this week, but the goal with that is that if you have a strong pre-registration push or pre-order push, if you're a paid app on both the iOS and Android store, you'll have a higher chance of being featured in those stores. Which, of course, for anybody browsing the App Store looking for a new game, you're going to see that. So,
now, do you think it'll draw the eyes of people who played 20 years or 10 years ago? Or will it draw actual new people?
I think it's going to be new people.
That'll be interesting.
And, you know, that's the whole emphasis on the tutorial that we talked about a few weeks back as well. And, you know, I feel like we've come a long way, and I don't know what update it was, but you remember, you know, at the tail end of last year, Tanis, I was saying that if this thing were to ship as it is now, it would feel as though it would be, you know, a 2 or 3 star app. I feel like we're making improvements on
ready.
That.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know specifically what update it was, but I definitely feel like that's there. So.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I do everything but combat on my phone. Like, I feel comfortable enough. I mean, I'd even do Slayer or some of those lower-end bosses, but...
Yeah, I know Zant was...
It's a complete game.
on a bit of a break before Matriarchs came out. Matriarchs Plus mobile on iPad has been a boon for him. So,
yeah, I play on my iPad a lot too, which is nice. Yeah. Having the bigger screen.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I still want to know how RuneScape is going to work on an M1 iPad.
Probably well.
Yeah, right. Very well. And I'm and that's the funniest thing is that is it going to work better than a Mac? You remember I had that discussion last year when mobile when Apple Silicon was announced? I said we could be living in a world where RuneScape runs better on an iOS device than it does on a Mac, but we'll have to wait and see on that. So,
I mean, if you, I know because I have one of those Magic Mouses. And that works on my iPad, and I can actually use
it. Oh, yeah, for playing RS, absolutely. Any Bluetooth mouse will do it.
Now, the keyboard, like I have a Bluetooth keyboard, that works for chat, but it's not like I can queue up.
Yeah, because there's no way to set certain keyboard shortcuts for that.
But that would be nice. I would have loved that.
All right, that's the mobile update for the week, the divination update for the week, and I think we could move on to our picks of the week, unless you guys have anything else on that front.
Do not.
All right, Bears, pick of the week, what you got for us?
Yeah, so mine is the UEFA Champions League. Now, I imagine we have some European following here, so they might have a good idea what that is, but it's basically the European Soccer Championship where they can take the top teams from a lot of the countries out in Europe and put them in a tournament. I kind of started following it around this time last year when sports started coming back to Europe and they were not back in the United States. And I was just kind of dying for sports. So I'd started waking up every Saturday morning to watch soccer, which if you would have told myself that 6 years ago, I thought you were crazy. I kind of fell in love with German team Dortmund and started watching them every weekend. They made it to the quarterfinals of the Champions League, so I watched all of their games in that. And then they got knocked out, and I was like, well, this has been fun watching all this soccer. So I continued watching it, and they just had the semifinals and on Wednesday and Thursday, so it's going to be Chelsea versus Manchester City in the championship, and that will be in a couple weeks, so I'm looking forward to that.
Or European football, as some people like to call it as well.
Yes, yes.
All right, sounds good. Where do you watch that out of curiosity?
So that's the fun part. So the UEFA Champions League is on CBS. Now with Paramount.
Okay.
But what was tough was since I was following Dortmund, their games are on ESPN Plus. So I had to buy a subscription to ESPN Plus to watch their league games and then buy a CBS one for their Champions League game. So that kind of sucked.
Yeah, and that's an entirely different model to I think how the bulk majority of sports work in North America too. You know, people can. I think there's options to buy packages for NHL or NFL with that, but you don't need to buy multiple of that. And I imagine that's probably just from location, right?
Yes and no. Yes, because we are in North America, so it is different. But technically, ESPN has the rights to the German league. But the UEFA is its own league, so CBS has access to that or rights to that. So that's what makes it tricky is that it's two different leagues going on at once.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Tennis, what do you got for pick of the week?
This week I got a new-ish song. It's only been out a few months, but it's by an artist named NF. And it's featuring Hobson, and NF is a rapper who talks a lot about, you know, mental health and, you know, overcoming mental illness, and Hobson does too, if you've ever heard of the, you know, his big album was The Ill Mind of Hobson. good stuff. Surprised you're not down, Shane.
No.
No. But no, really, really good message. Good song. It's catchy and very cerebral. So that is my pick of the week. It's NF and Hobson. The song is called Lost, and we think it might have been recorded, like the video might have been recorded in Canada, because there are mountains, trees, and
lots
of snow.
Yeah, it looks like it. I didn't want to show it on screen, because last time I showed a music video on screen, they thought, even though there was no sound, we got dinged for copyright, believe it or not.
I believe it, so that's why I'm describing it. Go check it out. There's a Vivo on YouTube, and there you go. But good stuff.
All right. Sounds good. And I'm actually going to do a pick of the week. I said I wasn't going to when we started this, but I realized that there was a tech news article that I wanted to talk about that came out this week. And, you know, we use Twitter each and every day here in terms of getting our stuff out on the internet and sharing it and whatnot. And I talked about this same kind of thing last week with Substack, and how Substack is a creation platform for journalists who might not have a platform, who aren't being published, or who might have been kicked off out of their outlet, in that they can offer their stuff up for free and you can pay for it. But this kind of creator's economy is percolating upwards and pretty much everywhere at this point. I've also mentioned Locals in the past, but Twitter is trying to get a piece of it this week by bringing out what they're calling the tip jar. Tip jars will be initially enabled for influencers, creators, and public figures, I believe they said on this note. And what this is that it's a way for people to send and receive tips to creators that they like. And this isn't a tip as in, hey, we're going to give you a tip and this is the hot new sauce of what's going to write your news article. It's a tip, like when you go to a restaurant. And what basically happens with this is it's a way you can send money to your favorite creators. Services that work with TipJar as of right now on launch include Bandcamp, Cash App, Patreon, PayPal, and Venmo. And the interesting part about this is that Twitter is not going to take a cut.
I was going to ask you how much they were taking.
So they're just going to be facilitating the interaction between the creator and wherever they're doing it, whether it be PayPal, whether it be Patreon. And that's what makes this really interesting, is that you would expect Twitter to take a cut, but for people like us who already have an outfit established on Patreon, it wouldn't really make much sense for us to start one up somewhere else. So once this makes its way to our account, we'll be able to link our RSBNB account to our Patreon account. And if people see a tweet that they like, they'll be able to interact with us on Patreon somehow. I'm not exactly sure how it will work when it comes to the Patreon angle, but nonetheless, this is interesting. And this isn't the first new feature that's made Twitter a little bit more interesting to me in recent months. So they are doing interesting things and they're trying to branch out, but we'll just have to wait and see how many people use this. The initial group includes creators, journalists, experts, and nonprofits. Sorry, not public figures.
So you need to be one of those to have it enabled?
Yes. And they're rolling it out to a certain number at the start, and it will roll out to others later on. I don't know how to register the RSBNB account as a creator account to get access to this, and that's something I'm going to be looking at in the coming days. And maybe it's that it's not available in Canada yet, but we'll have to just wait and see on this. But, you know, I think people have been wanting to, for a long time, be able to say, hey, here's a tweet we like, let's, you know, enable that person in that way. And I think Twitter's also looking with curated tweets, where you're also going to be able to limit who can see certain tweets. So, you know, this isn't that's going to be an interesting pay for access thing, because you can bet they'll take a cut of that. But nonetheless, this is further advancing the creator economy, and it's something that anybody who is one of these people like us, or anybody who listens to one of these people, should be aware of. So we'll be keeping you guys updated on that as we get more information on it. So that's the news from Twitter this week. But aside from that, we also do have the Skill of the Month sign up running for the Divination Skill of the Month that runs from May 10th until May 24th. So if you want to sign up for that, take part in some new fast divination training, just head on over to rsvmb.com/SKOTM. Bears, you going to make it two in a row?
I signed up. I don't know how interested I'm going to be in it. I mean, I'm almost out of double XP now, so that could already be a huge disadvantage.
Or a huge advantage for somebody who's saving it for this.
Yeah, so I'm leaning towards no, but I might just get the itch on Monday and go for it.
All right, well, one thing we do say is that if you want to sign up, or if you're not sure if you're going to train, sign up anyways, because you never know what you might feel like training at some point. And I know lots of people who guide their RS training based on these competitions. So you can find that at rsbnb.com/SKOTM. But it is Double XP Live, and I was anticipating to have a bigger wall of achievements this week than we do, but we don't. So we're going to take a breather, and we're going to, of course, keep the wider panel open for all of Double XP Live. So starting off, we have Derp, got 120 Dungeoneering on May 5th. Free Keski got 99 Hunter on May 5th. Gooey Cookie got 120 Invention. Mesgram with 99 Cooking. New Hero got 120 Dungeoneering. Rex Compidium got 99 Fletching and 99 Farming on the 5th. Robbie got 200 million Agility XP on the 5th. Up the Iron 05 got 99 Dungeoneering on the 5th. Then moving on to May 4th, we have Delta Polo with 99 Summoning, Kedgeworth with 99 Smithing and 99 Herblore. Lazy Colonel got 99 Crafting and 99 Prayer. Luke Totodile got 120 Herblore. Mesgram again with 99 Fletching on the 4th. No Sanity with 99 Fishing. And finally, Rex Compidium again with 99 Dungeoneering and 99 Construction on the 4th. And then we have Shanty Eustay with 99 Defense also on the 4th.
All right. We got Simply Skills, 99 Firemaking on May 4th. Spy Who Man, also 99 Firemaking. Xandergum, 99 Fletching on the 4th. Then we move to the 3rd, where Bulbazard got 99 Constitution, Deltar Polo got 99 Hunter, Duramax got 120 Invention, Kebab Thief got 120 Thieving and 120 Defense, Kiki got 99 Thieving, Omega 200 mil Ranged, Rex Competum got 99 Firemaking and 99 Crafting, Chantiste got 99 Attack, and Simply Skills got 99 Archaeology.
Very nice. And moving on, we have Snow Light with 99 Farming on the 3rd. We have Spy Human with 99 Crafting on the 3rd, and 99 Fletching as well. We have Up Their Irons 05 with 99 Summoning on the 3rd. And Woody 1 with 120 Summoning on the 3rd. Faye Superjet with 99 Crafting on the 1st. Xerxes of 120 Fishing on the 1st. Goku Sibli with 120 Farming on April 30th. And Knapp with 99 Agility on the 29th. And Cyberflee with 99 Dungeoneering on April 29th, and Zerdones with 120 Archaeology on the 29th, and 99 Woodcutting, both on the 29th. So, very nice, everybody. Good job.
Congrats.
Nicely done. I was expecting a wall, but I imagine that'll be next week because we haven't had a double XP weekend yet with this, have we?
Mm-mm.
No. So.
It's really cool to see how many people are on that list multiple times.
Yeah, I remember that, and I never did the clustering like that with double XP because it just happened. But you can really see the value in these double XPs when they do that. So.
Oh yeah.
Let's see. I think that's pretty much it. I guess we can talk about what we've been up to in RS. Tanis, how about you? What you been doing?
Well, I finished off the 120 fishing over the weekend, got prepped and ready for double XP because I was actually going to do Herblore this time. So I'm set up and, you know, hopefully 8 hours from now we will be at 120 herb. So yay. And nice, then with whatever time I have left, we'll go back to probably archaeology.
And I provided you with primal extract.
Yes, absolutely. I appreciate that. Although I am making something that's a little slightly different. I'm not doing the, what was the one with the bruise?
Power burst of vitality.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm doing a opportunity.
Oh, okay. They're interesting.
Almost exactly the same. XP wise, it's like 100 less and a fraction of the price.
Oh, okay. That works.
Yeah.
What does that even do?
It's the one that...
I don't even know.
But. It's the one that improves your time sprite and rock opportunity bonuses for 15 seconds after you take a sip.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting.
Yes. I see why that one is cheaper. Phasmatite and Third Age Iron plus Dinosaur Claws.
But the primal extract still went to a good use.
Yeah, that one's a really interesting one from an Iron Man perspective. I will say that.
Yeah, I don't know about how useful it is, but it's pulling about 5 mil an hour, so I'll take it.
Nice. Wow. Yeah, I don't know how useful it is either.
Yeah, good luck trying to sell it a pack.
Yeah, I don't plan on getting anything out of it.
Because the thing is that, I mean, sure, you can time it with time sprites, but Rockertunities, I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Hmm. How about you, Bears? What you been up to?
So I also finished up 120 fishing. I did that this morning. And I got about 13 or so hours left of double XP, and I'm going to try to cook the 40,000 sailfish I have in my bank.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Where'd you get that from?
From fishing. I bought 10,000 of it, but okay. 30,000 is from.
Oh, my.
Yep.
Wow.
Let's see. He's got 120 cooking next, right there.
Yeah, there I don't know if I'll do it all, though. We'll see. It'll be good money, though, because the approach of the gods is kind of overpowered at sometimes.
How does Broach of the Gods tie into that?
It's like a 20% chance to get a double fish while cooking.
Oh.
Affordable.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So it's already, I think it's already profit cooking sailfish, and then you get a 20% chance to double it.
And here we thought Broach of the Gods was the weak one.
Well,
I sent in that question.
Yeah,
that came,
right. I remember that now.
Good, but once I got it, once I started using it, I was like, yeah, this is really freaking good.
See, Tanis, different perspectives.
Yeah. Right. Well, if I had FU money, I mean, it'd be cool, but it's just so expensive.
It's worth it. If you're going to go for any 120 that's used on a portable, you make your money back pretty easily.
Well, I could be using one right now. That would be good, yep. Probably.
Plus also all the associated boosts with it too. And the Urn Scorch. Yeah. So perhaps we underestimated that one when it came out. I know Alex made his own.
Perhaps.
Did you buy it or did you make your own?
I believe I bought it.
Okay, fair enough.
I think I got like a ECB drop and I was like, oh, I'll just buy it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I could afford it too. I could.
You can.
I could.
Definitely worth it. I really recommend it. And then all the components too that you get from it.
Right.
And we have heard that brought up.
Yeah, I forget who brought that up.
Those are good.
Yeah. Wonderful. All right. As for me, I have been doing Slayer on double XP here. Currently, I got to 109.
Really?
Yeah, it was 108. And I think I found my problem with Slayer. The problem was, it was the loot interface.
Really?
With it not staying up and it not updating automatically.
Okay.
I find that the revamped loot interface helps immensely.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I believe. Are you going to look into the gemstone dragons?
Yes, when I get a gemstone dragon task, absolutely. They have not come up yet. They have not come up yet.
Just remember range and melee distance.
Yeah. I have been enjoying the Vile Blooms on Anachronia. I didn't think I would, but I have been doing those. The Lampen Flores, I believe they're called. And I got a funny RNG story with this one. A really funny RNG story. So the only piece of the base camp that I was missing was the Slayer Lodge, the Tier 3 Slayer Lodge that needed the Dinosaur Tooth. I got the Dinosaur Tooth 5 kills in. That's apparently a 1 in 800 drop.
That's the Shane luck. We need to coin a term for stupid luck.
But I'm not done yet.
That's awesome.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
On the second to last Vile Bloom kill, I got the bottom piece of the Totem of Summoning.
Ooh, okay. I actually thought you were going to say you got one of the pairs of boots, which would have been pretty sweet, too.
I know, the middle piece of the Totem of Summoning, because the bottom piece comes from the dinosaur, the Big Game Hunter. Yeah, I got the middle piece.
Cool.
Nice.
And, you know, it's just been a really interesting experience with that. It might also help in terms of damage output and speed that I have actually put perks on my weapons now.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah, I went for the ancient... gizmos with precise 6 genocidal plus equilibrium 4.
Ooh. Yep. That's a huge damage increase.
Yeah. I can feel it. And, you know, I got a good melee set, I got a good range set, and I got a good magic set now. So I feel like we're good to go, honestly, on Slayer at this point, and there won't be many stumbling blocks with it. So
what is your magic setup?
It is the tier 90 wand with the tier 80 book for the time being.
And then armor?
Magic wise, just ports at the moment.
Yeah. So which it's still is fine slightly better than
which is fine for Slayer, I think. Just ports armor. You don't need to go max DPS on that. Range setup is the same as my PVM setup, the Elite Robin Hood, plus Ascensions with Ascension Bolts, nothing special there. And melee setup is just masterwork, of course, trim masterwork with the scythe.
Nice.
So.
Did you look into getting the spear, the new spear from the Rex Matriarchs?
I don't think I need that.
It should be good for Slayer. I thought it'd be better than scythe for Slayer, to be honest.
I think it's good for Slayer if you don't have a scythe. because it just allows you to do so much that the Scythe does, but it's so much cheaper as well. You know, specifically in regards to the high damage it provides, but it goes down to tier 75 accuracy, of course. So the Scythe is still going to be better on that front, which I already had. But I think if you don't have the Scythe, the Lanikea Spear is wonderful.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And I feel like it's also kind of just opened my eyes up to a part of the game that I hadn't been at for so long as well. Just the different kind of Slayer tasks that Lanikea provides and whatnot compared to all of the other ones back in the day. Like on my block list, I still had Sukas and Warped Creatures. That's how long it's been since I did Slayers. I don't think there's anything else we have to talk about here, so I think we can wrap this one up and call it a day, and we'll keep our eyes on the divination market, see how things are going. But thanks, Bears, for joining us, and everybody, it was wonderful having you on the show. And for everybody else, of course, if you want these episodes delivered automatically to you, you can find them at update.rsbnb.com/subscribe or on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, YouTube, and more. YouTube.com/RSBNB. Give us a like and subscribe there. It helps the channel out with discoverability. But with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. Take care, everyone. See you then.
See ya.
See ya.